Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to another week of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and today I am joined by author Jessica Murnan. She is the author of One Part Plant, which came out in 2017, and she is the author of the upcoming book, Know Your Endo. It comes out at the end of April 27th?
Yeah.
Jessica, welcome. I'm so excited.
Thank you. And I want to first thank you for making this podcast. It has truly helped me during this pandemic being inside. I cannot listen to any podcast that feels sad. Like, my friends are like, did you catch the new episode of The Daily?
Yeah, it's like, who is listening to The Daily? Yeah.
Why do I want to be more depressed? So thank you for providing joy to my life.
That is so nice. Thank you. Well, thank you for saying that. I love doing this. It's really kept me both on my toes and just, like, you know, trying to find the joy in the everyday.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to talk about the pandemic because it makes me too sad and it's all I think about. So for like an hour a week, I get to just like not. And I appreciate that hour. And I appreciate you coming on. I'm really excited about your book. You're a friend of Serena Wolf's, friend of the pod.
Yes. And I just cold reached out to you after you talked to her. I was like, hey, have you read this book? Because I'm like, I felt like you would like the Bachelor book. What's up? One to Watch?
It's the, yes, yeah, yeah. One to Watch. So good. And wait, yes.
Or I maybe you told me about that, but I reached out to you about something.
You reached out to me about that. And I think I told you, I'll find it in our emails, but we were doing some book club recs first email. It was a match made in heaven.
I can sniff it out with someone if they like the same books as me.
Me too, or else I just force it on everyone. Everyone knows I've forced Ellen Hildebrand on many a people. Tell me about you have basically taken your endometriosis diagnosis like into your own hands in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Tell me about the process of that and then putting that all into book form. As I am on the PCOS side of, you know, problems in utero. And it's hard. There's a lot of conflicting information.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gynecologists who won't even really like touch that stuff with you. Sometimes it's perceived kind of the same way someone struggling with a chronic illness would be, like, that, you know, a lot of pain isn't believed. I mean, endometriosis really can be really chronic, and
it is a chronic,
and the pain isn't believed and the struggle isn't believed, and you're here and you've written now two books about it. Like, what did that look like for you kind of in the beginning, you know, figuring out your diagnosis and trying to figure out how you needed to live with it?
Well, it was very dark in the beginning. I was supposed to get a hysterectomy 10 years ago. And I think with endo, sometimes the stages don't matter. I have stage 4, which is like top dog stage. Yeah. But I think if you have stage 1, you could have a lesion on a part of your body that causes you more pain than someone that has stage 4. But I had very significant disease in my body. And I just, you know, I didn't know anything back then. I mean, there wasn't even a podcast like yours that had a guest on to talk about endo. Like, there wasn't a lot out there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I went to message boards. It was very gloom and doom. And I was ready to get a hysterectomy because I just thought this you know, and knowing, not knowing back then either that a hysterectomy doesn't necessarily take away your pain. So
did someone just tell you, like, did a doctor tell you, like, this is the best? I mean, that's a huge surgery. Oh, I mean, it's massive. I mean, it's one of the biggest.
Well, and if you look online at a lot of top medical websites, a lot of the websites say that a hysterectomy or hormone therapy are basically your two choices. That's not, I mean, it's devastating to read that.
Yeah.
And yeah, a doctor told me, she was like, your choices are to go on these hormonal drugs or get a hysterectomy. And I didn't want those in my body after I read about all the horrible side effects. It's like, I remember I looked it up. It was like depression, hair loss. And like, okay, I feel like my hair is the only thing going for me at this point. So like, if I fucking lost that. Like, I'm not, I know that sounds silly.
No,
but
I get it.
You have to have one thing that you felt like was good about yourself. And so, yes, it was really, really, really dark. And a friend knew that I was going to get a hysterectomy, and she just sent me a link about how a plant-based diet can help endo. And this was on a very outdated website. I don't even think it exists anymore. And I thought, I'm kind of a people pleaser with my friends. And I'm like, she sent it to me, so I should try it, not thinking it would work. And I did. And slowly my pain began to fade. And like, I always like to make clear, it wasn't just the food that got me out of bed. It was like getting out of bed meant that I could have better mental health, which meant I could move my body again, which meant I could be with friends again. It was like this whole domino effect. Mm-hmm. And I think creating lifestyle tools is like the greatest way to manage endo. But I think even more important than that is knowing the information about, no, a hysterectomy might not take your pain away. No, pregnancy is not a treatment for endo. There's a lot of doctors that tell women that. It's bananas, dude. Like, what people are told. It's very, like, when I posted,
there's no other word for it. It's weird. That's weird. Yeah, you should get pregnant. That'll help you. Well, you're not pregnant forever. I mean,
like, I know. And then you have a child.
And then you have a baby. There's other pain associated with that. I mean, like, that's a crazy thing.
So, yeah, so Know Your Endo, just that title of the website and the book was truly born from the fact that, like, I just want people to know what they're dealing with. Like, it's devastating to me to find out that so many people with endo don't even know the symptoms. Like, I had this one woman reach out to me and said that before I saw your website, for 20 years, I did not know that fatigue was a symptom of endo. So I thought that I was just lazy and tired all the time. It's like, no, it's like one of the biggest symptoms of endo is fatigue. So I think knowing the symptoms and being able to empower, and sometimes I hate the word empower, because when you're like in the darkest place, you're like, fuck you. Like, I don't feel empowered right now.
Sure.
But I think knowing all the information can just move you along a little bit.
Yeah. I'm still stuck on, you should get pregnant to get rid of your endo pain. Sorry, that will haunt me now forever. Plant-based diets, though, I know can be sort of like a little controversial in that sometimes it's a catch-all and a way to tell someone who has chronic endo pain that because they've been eating, because they ate like a cheese quesadilla or because they ate a hamburger, you know, their pain is bad. Like, oh, you're doing this to yourself, or,
right.
You know? And so how do you reconcile the fact that, like, you know, shifting to a plant-based diet really worked for you? It was finally a solution that did not involve, you know, a massive surgery or a child. And so I will literally never forget. That will haunt me forever. And also the idea that some people with endo might try this and it still doesn't take their pain away.
Oh my God. Absolutely. So I think that in one part plant, I think I said it 100 times that this worked for me. It might not work for you, but shifting into Know Your Endo, there is a food chapter and it really focuses on what I call good food, which equals food that doesn't make you feel bad.
Sure.
So it's like, it might not be an all plant-based diet, but I think that the key is to, you know, look for foods that are lower inflammatory foods. Like, if we know that these higher inflammatory foods could potentially inflame us, maybe don't eat them the days of your period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I also do make it clear that, like, even with the best diet in the freaking world, you could still be debilitated in pain.
Mm-hmm. And that pain is real.
And that pain is real. But I think that's almost another indicator to push harder for answers.
Yeah.
Like, where is this lesion located? Why do I have this giant cyst, but my doctor's telling me that don't worry about it? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the thing that I interviewed, and this is something that has stuck with me since the day I spoke to her, but I interviewed a woman for my book that wasn't diagnosed until she was 53. And at that point, her organs had fused together because of her endo. And for 30 years of her life, she had told her doctor how much in pain she was. So, you know, and I think with a lot of people too, like, just to continue to say, like, find a doctor who listens, like, that's harder than it sounds.
We don't live in a socialized healthcare country. Like, you can't, sometimes there's only like two doctors, and sometimes you can't afford, and sometimes you don't have health insurance. I mean, like, that's crazy to be like, yeah, just like that. What a wild, yeah, wild.
Yeah. So yes, I 100% acknowledge what you're saying. It's laid out in the book that, like, I think even with the best tools,
yeah,
you can still have some really shitty days. But I think my mission is to have more good days than bad.
Sure. That's a great mission.
And I mean, it sounds like opposite of toxic positivity, but it's just, it's the reality. I think we have to define our best with endo, because it's going to be very different than someone that doesn't have it.
Sure. Let's do a pivot to your shopping habits during the pandemic. And I'm not talking about groceries, and I'm not talking about like your necessities. I get it. We're all doing grocery delivery, or we're like going to the grocery store like once a month and just going ham and then never going again. Tell me about, like, what your comfort shopping has been like. Are you doing more online shopping? Are you doing less? Did you like do some home office stuff? Like, tell me everything.
Well, I don't know if this counts as like an online shopping thing, but I spent a shitload of money to get my backyard done.
Nice. Yes.
I don't know if that counts, but it definitely was.
Tell us more.
Came out of my bank account.
Yeah.
Well, I also feel like a jerk that I even have a backyard because, and to be clear, it's, I don't know, like maybe 300 square feet. It's like not a very, maybe two, I don't know square footage, but it's small.
Okay. I mean, it's outside but though.
Yeah, it's outside. I think I lived in Chicago for 18 years, so I still feel like this is like I live in like a mansion or something because I have like something that I can go outdoors to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just decided to, I was very hesitant to always spend money on that. And then I just went for it. I like planted, when I say I hired someone mm-hmm. to plant a whole bunch of fruit trees,
wow.
a whole bunch, like I've got blueberry bushes. It's just like decked out because I thought if we're going to be inside all the time, why don't we have like something pretty to look at?
Yeah.
So I dropped some dough on that. Other than that, I've been hoarding money.
I would love to say the same. Good for you. Hoard that money.
Because I will say I've spent a ridiculous amount on books because I'm such a library person, but mm-hmm. I can't go to the library right now. Mm-hmm. So I think most of my money has gone to books and pajamas.
Books and pajamas are like such a wonderful thing to have bought during the pandemic. Like, that's wonderful. Wait, tell me where you live. Where are you guys based?
I live in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay. So you actually can do some outdoor stuff. Like,
yes.
It gets a little cold, but you can still be outside.
Yeah. I mean, it gets to 50 here and people are like, oh my God, it's freezing outside. And we're like out there like shirtless.
Yeah.
It
yeah. Feels yeah.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, after Chicago and like that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And we're in LA after New York for 10 years. So everyone here wears like a puffy coat and it's 62 degrees and I'm like yeah, in my exactly. bathing suit. So it's very funny. I'm like, oh, it's tanning weather. So your backyard, do you spend time there? Like, do you have like a seating situation? Do you read out there, or is it just plants and gardens? And
I love that you asked this because I thought long and hard about, do I have seating? But there's just something way more beautiful about it being an open space. So if someone comes over, I pull a bench out.
Nice.
And then I bought a hammock.
Yes.
And I have that, and I have a cute little fire pit. Other than that, I just thought it would be beautiful for it just to be this. And I mean, realistically, because it's small, if I had some chairs,
that would be the end of the space.
It would be the end. And also they couldn't be 6 feet apart.
Sure.
So.
I love that you hired someone to come in and do the gardening.
Which is something I do not. I am such a I can figure this out myself person. And then 10 years later, it's done. For this, I'm like, why not?
Because totally.
I don't know where to plant things.
Well, definitely. And as someone without a green thumb, and I married someone who's very like we have garden beds in our backyard, and Dan like actually has fun digging them up, and I'm like, I can't imagine what that's like. But like gardening especially, that's a finicky thing. Like you plant a fruit tree wrong, you've just wasted a lot of time and money, and it's yeah. not something that's just going to be like, oh yeah, like, you know, the plant will figure it out. Like you have to plant things correctly, you have to like put them in the right place, you have to like get the kind of plant that is, you know, conducive to the environment. And those are all things that I would absolutely skip over and be like, I want an avocado tree. Yeah, I live in Maine. I'm getting an avocado tree. And I can't believe it's not harvest. Like, I can't harvest any avocados. That would be me. So I think it's really smart because you probably actually saved yourself money and time.
I love this. I love this theory.
I'm happy to convince you that you did the right thing. Truly.
And I will say I did get a garden box 2 years ago in our backyard, and I took a class, a gardening class that was specific to Charleston.
Cool.
Because I started looking online and I'm like, oh, if you live in Santa Fe, it's very different to garden yes. than if you live in Ohio. But there's all these like YouTube videos. It's like, now it's time to pull the carrots. And it's like a completely different month.
I live in the desert. Yeah, exactly. No, that is fucking genius, obviously. And you're right. Like, you have to do something that's like, here's the exact spot on earth. Here's the exact patch of earth you live on. And like, here's what you can do with it.
Yeah.
So what did you learn?
Oh my gosh, dude. This woman named Rita, it's called Rita's Roots. Shout out if anyone lives in Charleston, take one of her classes.
Love that.
But she teaches you basically, I mean, in Charleston or South Carolina, it's very different. Like you plant strawberries in the beginning of winter. Like that's mm-hmm. not normal right. in other areas.
Right.
And I learned, you know, you don't need a lot of stuff either. And
I don't know what that's like.
I just...
My whole life is stuff. I'm a hoarder. So did you do a strawberry?
I did strawberries. I'm never planting them again. I thought it was, here's the thing that I've learned with gardening. This is, sounds so just whatever, not cool, but I've learned that why, like I planted like a cantaloupe, for instance, why take up the space for a cantaloupe? You're going to get one in like 4 months. So
100%.
But I felt so proud that I was planting a cantaloupe. So now I no longer I'm sticking to the big producers, or yes. as they call them in my gardening class, the prolific growers.
Wow, Rita, I love that. Well, that makes a ton of sense. I've asked several times if we could do watermelon in the backyard, and the thing with watermelon, as Dan tells me, is that they're spreaders. When they grow, you can't do a plant box for a cantaloupe or a watermelon because they right. will come up against a literal wall and they will not be able to grow. Like they need a full, they need their space.
Yeah.
So I was sad about that for like a minute, but like tomatoes are really good. Beans are really good. Even broccoli can be good.
Peppers, you get so peppers, many peppers.
That can be really good. Yeah, we have, What else do we have? We did some Swiss chard. And when I say we, I do not mean me at all. I've done nothing. But things like potatoes, like cantaloupe, like watermelon, like you have to know
too
going
much space,
in.
Man.
Yeah, you can't just like do one. Like I know it.
Well,
would be
that's what I did, and it was a bad idea.
But did you get a cantaloupe out of it?
Yes, and I'm telling you, I have. Like I felt more proud than that than like getting a book deal. Like
yeah.
it was like I made this. I'd be like, I made this cannabis. Like, you actually didn't do anything. You planted it and watered it.
Yeah, but you're living off the land.
That's with my one cantaloupe.
I kind of like to imagine that you still have it in like a, in like an airtight shrine where it just like lives for years, and it just, you just look at it every day. No, it is a very, because it harkens back to like just the natural way of the earth. Like, you know, you grow, you like, you utilize your land, you grow, you harvest, you eat, and like, you know what I mean? Like, you feel really proud when you produce something yourself.
And I will say, like, all of this is so foreign to who I used to be. Like, when I got my book deal and I ran into old friends, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm writing a cookbook. And they're like, you don't cook. And I'm like, it's a plant-based cookbook. They're like, you only eat like lean cuisine. It's like, but people can change.
Yeah, we can evolve.
I never thought in a million years I would have a garden and that I would actually know how to do it. But Rita's Roots, man.
Rita's
Roots. She taught me the way.
That is so, what a great tip that I feel like, it seems so obvious, but it obviously is not, that like anytime you see a gardening YouTube or a planting TikTok or whatever, the most important thing to know before you try to do it yourself at home is where they are, like where they're doing it.
Where do you live?
And you literally need to know the actual like parameters of their, like how much sun, how much shade, how much rain, how much snow, like what month is this? Like when you're filming this, like what time of year is this? Because that's, I think a lot of people get really, I've seen this a lot in the pandemic where everyone started getting a lot of plants, and then some people's like monsteras would be like flourishing and other people's would be dying. And it's like, yeah, but you can't, just because it looks amazing in that corner, like it's a literal plant. And like, if that corner gets too much sun, your plant's going to die. And you know what I mean? Like you really, plants don't give a shit about your Instagram. You know what I mean? Like you can't do anything for the aesthetic. Like you actually have to go by the plants' rules and not like what will look cute on your grid. But I'm very annoyed already preemptively with all of the people who, like, after all this is over and we're all vaccinated and like kind of we return to the hustle and bustle of life, because you know it's going to happen. Everyone's like, no, I think we'll like definitely slow down. No, we won't. We're not going to slow down. We've just been no one's going to slow down. No one's going to be like, yeah, we're staying home more. Like everyone's going to go insane. Everyone's going to be like their 21st birthday every day for like 2 years. Like everyone's going to be blackout drunk, like staying out till 4 a.m. making awful decisions because they can get close to people again. But like the people who are going to emerge out of this and be like, yeah, so it was very difficult. And obviously we were home all the time. I wrote three books and I wrote two screenplays, and I'm going to be like, I wrote 60,000 tweets. Fuck. Like, I'm already mad at all of those people. And I have various group chats where we are placing bets on like who's going to do it.
Oh my God. I love that.
You know, they're going to come. You know, people are going to be like, I wrote four screenplays during this time. Okay. Fuck you.
Time really inspired me. Yeah. It's like, really?
I was actually super productive. Okay. Great.
Oh my God. Gross.
I hate
them. Good for them.
Yeah. I hate them. No, don't. Not good for them. Only good for me. No, I get very jealous of my friend Jess Goodman, who wrote They Wish They Were Us. Have you read that yet? I know we have to talk books throughout, but you would love it.
Is that the one that's like more of a teen?
Yes, it's a YA. It's kind of YA. It's like a secret society, and there's like a death, and there was like a death their freshman year, and then like by their senior year, all the secrets come out. It gets very like Pretty Little Liars, Riverdale.
Okay. This is a good intervention for you to have with me. I am always a little bit skeptical, and will I like YA?
Yeah, YA has come a long way since we were YA.
I mean, like I read The Hunger Games, which to me, how did you call that YA?
Sure.
Like that's not YA at
all
to me.
Too sexy.
Right. But sometimes I'm like, would I like that book about high schoolers? Although all I do is watch shows that have high schoolers and college people. So
yeah. So YA is amazing because I think now a lot of YA is written by people our age who understand and I think are making up for the fact that when we were younger, it was just like Sweet Valley High and Babysitter's Club and like all well and good. I mean, that was like my blood type, you know, when I was like 13, and it also instilled my love of reading and just like binge reading too. You know, you could just fly through all of those books. But I think that like YA has come a long way since the late 90s, and it is now, if you like watching the shows, if you like a Gossip Girl, if you like a Pretty Little Liars, which I'm watching right now, and have you watched Pretty Little Liars?
I watched every single episode when it came out, like years past. I loved that show.
This is going to be the most frenetic episode yet because we're like, oh my god, the books and the shows and the food and the, okay. But no, we have to talk about this. So I'm watching Pretty Little Liars now. First of all, yes, you would like They Wish They Were Us. Closing the loop on that thought, Jess is one of those people that like, I text her every day, and somehow in between those texts, she's writing another book, and I'm not doing that. So I'm like. I need a contact high off of her work ethic.
Yeah.
You would like it because if you like Pretty Little Liars and you like Gossip Girl, it's like, okay, this is in book form and you're a reader already. So you like reading, you know, I feel like I can't say the same for people who are like, oh, I just like watching shows. Like, would I like a book that's like similar to the shows? But if you already love to read books, then like, yeah, you will like a book that's very similar to the shows that you like to watch. I am watching Pretty Little Liars right now. You sneeze and you miss like 6 plot points in that show.
Oh my god.
I cannot understand what's happening, but I'm so dedicated to getting through it. I just finished season 2.
Oh wow, you're, as they say, early days on
I'm early days on PLL.
Love Island.
Yes, yeah. Right. It's early days. I know you can't do accents either. It's early days. I'm the end of season 2. Every time I blink or pee, I walk in and like someone else is dead and like someone else is A, and I'm like Google. So I don't understand what is happening, but I've realized that the key for me to watch, I am so excited that you've watched it because we can talk about it, is I need to read Wikipedia summaries of the episodes while I'm watching so that I feel comfortable moving on to the next episode. Because I'm trying to do this like swiftly. I'm not trying to dedicate the entirety of 2021 to watching Pretty Little Liars. It's like 6 seasons or whatever, 7 seasons maybe. I'm very confused. If I keep rewinding things, we're never going to get done. I read like Bustle recaps as I'm watching. I'm like, oh, okay. Because like, sometimes.
No question though. Do you read with your phone? I mean, do you watch with your phone?
What do you mean?
Are you texting? Are you Instagramming?
I've learned that with this show, you can't do that. And that's difficult for me because I love watching TV with my phone. The show is good that I want to be watching. Like, I don't want to miss like big things.
Yeah.
But I also.
Let me ask you this.
No, please interview me, Jess. Please.
Sorry.
No. I want that. Like, please. Okay. Don't apologize. I'm asking for it.
Not to get too in the weeds on Pretty Little Liars, because if someone has not watched it, this might be boring. But I do want to know from you right now.
Yeah.
Who is your least and most favorite character? Because there were some characters that when they would come on screen, I'm like, how is this person A, famous, and B, cast for this show?
Well, first of all, you have to give credit where credit is due. Bianca Lawson has been playing high schoolers for like 25 years.
Yes.
Bianca Lawson, what the fuck? Like, I'm drop the skincare routine and don't tell me it's drinking water because you have something you're doing. Like, I have to just give, I like her a lot. No spoilers. I won't say anything. Sidebar is that once I tweeted something about the finale of Dawson's Creek in like 2015, and like I got yelled at for like spoiling it, and I'm like, no, if a show ends in 2004, you're allowed to talk about how it ended 11 years later. Sorry, I know it's streaming on Netflix now. I know you're all watching it for the first time. I'm not going to be like, oh, so, like anyone not seen Dawson's Creek? okay, so Pretty Little Liars. I actually love Tryon Bellisario. Spencer.
Spencer.
She is one of my favorites. I think Jenna, whoever plays Jenna, is really, really good.
Mm-hmm. My least. She's like kind of an influencer on Instagram.
Oh, cool. Really?
Wait, is Jenna? I'm sorry. I haven't watched it. Jenna's the blind person?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I think some of the worst acting on that show. I'm. I'm here and there on the girl who plays Hannah Marin. Also, Troyanne Belisario, another person who's older than me and playing like an 18.
All except for
Lucy Hale.
Yeah, except for her, they were all older.
Yeah, I don't like
significantly older.
I don't like a lot more people than I like. I think Spencer is very good. I don't like the girl who plays Allie. I don't like the guy who plays Toby. And
oh my gosh, okay, yeah. Toby, that's who I was going to mention.
Is your least favorite? Yes. He has no facial expression.
But you know
whatsoever.
What? Like, I will, no spoilers because you're only on season two. But yes, Toby, for a long time, I was like, I have a hard time watching these scenes.
Yeah, I try to imagine, like, who of these people would I have wanted to fuck in high school? And Toby comes up as someone who's like hot. Like every time he takes off a shirt, I'm like, I get it. Like you're hot, but you're also so boring. I can't even wrap my head around it.
Yeah, he might be like a friend that you talk to in history, but not someone you'd want to have sex with.
Until he takes off his shirt and then you're like, maybe I would have sex with Toby.
But even that, it's kind of,
yeah.
I'm kind of in the camp of, I have, whatever, this is going to sound whatever, but like, I get annoyed by, I think there's a lot of celebrities and sometimes famous people that have amazing bodies, so therefore they are hot.
Duh. That's now, like all a celebrity.
I know, but it's just like, I just kind of like,
no, you got to bring something else.
Are you attractive to me? Like from the head up, like, are you funny?
Are you funny? Just, yeah.
The body is hotness. I rebel against.
Wait, who is your, we're going all over the place. I hope everyone likes this episode because I'm not apologizing for it. Who is your biggest celebrity? Like in that vein,
ooh.
Who's on your hall pass? Like,
okay. There's a combo and okay. I really only have two, and they are so obscure.
Does your Dan know about this or when he listens to this episode?
Oh.
Has he given
first of all, I don't let him listen to podcasts I'm on because it makes me.
That's probably a really good secret to a successful marriage.
He actually feels like it's weird. He never has listened to my podcast. He feels he's always says, I feel like it's a very personal thing for you. Aww. So like you just like do that. And I'm like, good, because I don't really point. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. He definitely knows about this because I talked about this one person at length all the time and then also talked about this other person.
Okay.
Okay. I have two.
Okay.
Holder. From season one of The Killing and season two.
No idea
two.
Who that is. Well, who is that? Hold on. I'm looking at
okay.
It. She's breathing heavily, everyone. She's having a moment. Hold on.
Now, he might not look hot in the
No, no,
photos.
No. I'm not here to judge. Hold on. Let me say.
It's a vibe. He has
no,
so
I get
much.
That. Let's see.
So much swagger. He was troubled. I like to save.
I was
going to
say, do you want to save someone? Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. I get that. I get it.
Okay. Second one.
Ooh, he's cute.
This is And if you search for him speaking, he's Swedish. Rio from Good Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. When he would come on screen and call.
I get it.
What's her face? Elizabeth Beth.
You were in it. Yeah, no, I get this.
Like, I had dreams about Rio.
No, I like
just,
you have
so
a
this
real
is,
type. You like a
it's
bad
a type.
Boy.
It's kind of like a bad boy, which is funny because my husband is the nicest guy.
Well, it's nice
in
when we
world,
don't marry
like,
the bad boys. Yes.
Yeah. Prior to Dan, all I did was date horrible bad boys.
I get that.
Like, I think my very first boyfriend, I mean, he was probably an extra in Kids. Like, you know, like the skateboarders that were just horrific people. Like, that's who I was attracted to.
And my whole friend group in high school was so into Kids. And I get that deeply. Yeah, I understand. When you watched The OC, you liked Ryan. You weren't a Seth.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
I mean,
I definitely like someone that is a little bit bad, yeah. but I see goodness in their heart.
You're like, I know what they are capable. I get it.
I could change them.
This is a lot of therapy that you could be doing in high school. Like, I'm like, this is, I understand what you're doing. Like, I see this. I see this
okay,
in
but my ultimate
yes,
hands down is Julius Erving.
Great one.
As my hottest man like ever made.
Great one. Great
yes,
one.
Dr. J.
Great
forever,
one.
Forever, all time. And a good man.
Dr. J. Yeah, Dr. J is like that is like the holy grail of bad boy, good
suave,
man. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just like
swagger. Just
beautiful, mm-hmm, athletic talent. It's just everything about him.
What a list. And also, may I say, you were prepared for that. You have those.
Well, because I have very few, like, I'm not like a Brad Pitt person.
No, I don't think
George Clooney is hot. Like, I don't think the traditional people are hot. So when someone comes on my radar that I'm having sex dreams about, I remember.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I never really had celebrity crushes because I was like, this isn't realistic. Like, this isn't a good way for me to spend my time. They're not going to
And that's the thing. I don't even really follow celebrities on Instagram either. I'm like, these are not my people. Like, I don't actually know them.
Right.
So,
and like, I'm never going to get to have sex with them. So we should just be doing other things with my time.
And I don't actually want to know Rio or Holder in real life.
Yes. I get that.
It's the characters that I want to be with.
Sure. Those are good ones. Those are really good ones.
What about you?
Tom Everett Scott. Squeaky clean.
Wow.
You know he came on the podcast. That was like a whole thing.
Really?
Yeah, about a year ago, like in April, I saw That Thing You Do for the first time because Dan was like, I can't believe you haven't seen That Thing You Do. And I was like, I haven't seen That Thing You Do. And then I was like, oh my
wow.
God. That was the first time I was like, I'm
he's
having
so cute.
He's so cute. And he's still so cute. You know, he was cute.
So cute.
Yeah.
What was that show that he was on that was really
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I watched
so
all
good.
The episodes of that. Yeah.
He is so sweet, and I tweeted at him that I like that was my first celebrity crush at like 32, because I was like, I can't even like I'm literally like fantasizing about like going to the prom with Tom Everett Scott, like a thing that you're right, like I wasn't really into Leo, I wasn't a Brad Pitt girl, I didn't like George Clooney, like I'm not like, oh my God, so sexy, I didn't have like NSYNC posters on my wall, but I saw That Thing You Do and I was like heart a flutter, and
yes.
And I tweeted him and I really just shot my shot. I'm like, hey, like, look, we're like 3 weeks into this pandemic, like if you're at home and you want to come on the podcast. he was so nice and he totally humored me for like an hour, and it was so sweet, and I'm still waiting for him. He's been married for like 30 years. He got married when he was like 5, and I'm still, and he has like, you know, kids in college, but I'm still waiting for him to realize that, you know, maybe
you're the one.
Maybe I'm the one.
And the book recommendation, which we can reveal,
yes,
the newest book I sent you, that whole book is about a celebrity, that dream of a celebrity being like, no, you're the one, like catching eyes with NSYNC and then being like, no, you're the person I've been looking for my whole life.
That makes me, it's so excited. That whole idea is so exciting to me, not even as me as the main character, but there was a picture of Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin when they were little. Like, I assume mm-hmm. that, you know, the ball, like, Baldwin brother, whatever, which other one is her dad? Is it Billy? Is it, I don't know. Whatever.
I think Steven, maybe?
Steven is her
or
dad.
Billy. Right. I actually don't know. Okay.
Baldwin's pulled some strings, probably got their, you know, Haley backstage. She's probably a Justin Bieber fan like every other kid was in 2009, 2010. And there's this picture of them as two kind of little like kids. Like he's got the little like swoopy hair in the hoodie, and she's this little blonde, you know, wearing her like, you know, candy necklace and a headband and a little polo shirt, and they look so cute, and now they're married, and like that to
I
me
know.
Is so amazing. And I also, on the same note as Justin Bieber, with my fantasy of Tom Everett Scott, is that Justin Bieber, when he used to do tours when he was like 12, used to pull up one girl from the audience to sing One Less Lonely Girl or whatever that song is called. I'm like, yeah, like, I guess it's called that. Like, I don't know. And he would give her a bouquet of flowers and she would sit in the stool and he would serenade her. And I just thought, like, that is so special. I could live off that high for a long time if that was Tom Everett Scott singing That Thing You Do to me in my 30s.
Sure.
But I love that idea of like, oh, you're a normal, not like Hailey Baldwin was ever normal because she's a Baldwin, but like, you know, you're a normal person in the world, and you know, you catch the eye of a famous celebrity that everyone wants to marry or fuck, and it's you. Yeah. And so that is the book that you sent me yesterday. I know we were going to talk about robes, but I just feel like we're on like another like plane right now, Jessica.
This is your podcast.
Well,
man.
I know, but we'll put the robe in at the end, but I feel like we're really like on one right now. Tell me. So like that's a really good intro to this book. We are everywhere today.
That's fine. So the book is called The Idea of You.
Yep.
And this is the funny part about this book. So for my birthday, my husband is the ultimate birthday giver. I don't, like, the night before, I'm like, what can I get for him? It's like he plans this out like months in advance. Mm-hmm. So for my birthday this year, because no one can go anywhere, he rented a hotel, booked a hotel.
Yeah. I'm like, what is that called? It's been so long.
He booked a hotel for my son and himself to get out of the house. Cause one of my most favorite things of life is to be alone. So, and I have not been alone at all.
Wow.
So they went off to a hotel.
And how old is your son?
He's 6.
Okay.
So then he said, and now he said, I have sent, my best friend is Allie, who lives in New York. He's like, I bought Allie an air fryer. Your air fryer is in the kitchen. He overnighted this like vegan nacho mix to the two of us, which she is not vegan. He said, for the rest of the day, you guys are just going to make snacks in the air fryer. Like the freezer was loaded with everything you put in the air fryer and FaceTime the whole day. So like you're together, even though you're not. I mean, she's like, I got an air fryer out of your birthday. Like, why is this the coolest thing ever? So anyway,
oh my God.
So we're FaceTiming or whatever. And she was like, oh my God, you have to read this book, The Idea of You. She's like, I'm going to love it. She's like, I'm going to buy it for you right now, but I have Dan's address in my phone. So I'm just going to send it to him. So like fast forward a month, she was like, did you get that book? And I'm like, no, I never got it. And then Dan overheard, he was like, oh my gosh, I got that book and I had no idea who sent it to me because it's this book called The Idea of You. And he was like, I didn't know if some like girl had like a crush on me or like, and he was like, and then I was going to tell you about it. And then I just forgot because of homeschool and work. And he was like, but here is your book. So anyway, I opened that book.
Honestly, after the story you've told about your husband doing that for your birthday, I think a lot of women are going to be sending The Idea of You to your husband. So I don't think it's that crazy out of the question.
Can I just tell you, my husband, we've been married for 20 years. And on my very first birthday, he started this thing called Mernonica, which is the combination of my last name and Hanukkah. Uh-huh. So it's a 7-day celebration of my birthday. And there's this thing called Mernonica Angels that, which is weird because he's an atheist, but the Mernonica Angels leave a present in our house for the 7 days. And it's random things like this amazing chocolate bar that's like in my pillow, or like I open the shower and there's like a new soap that I wanted. Oh. So anyway, he's so good at birthdays. I am not.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it is really nice. So anyway, the Idea of You, it is about a 39-year-old woman on the verge of 40. She takes her daughter to a kind of like a Harry Styles, One Direction type, because they're British.
Yes.
Boy band type thing. The lead of the boy band falls in love with her that night. And it is about their illicit. Like this?
Like sexy?
It is. Yes. Like it is, there's a part where I've never said this word before out loud. There's a part where he fingers her through her underwear.
You've never said fingers?
Well, on a podcast.
Welcome, Jessica. I'm like, you've never said that out loud? You've been married for 20 years?
No, not on a podcast.
He fingers her.
Through her underwear. Because she was like, you can't touch me. Try to make me calm in another way. And so he does it through her underwear. And it is just like, you don't expect it to get that like 50 Shades of Gray, but it but it does it in such a, and you want this, you want all these women's clothes. Like you, the way that she describes, they drop a lot of like designer names. Like it's so like pulled together. She wears a lot of like the row and like heels and pantsuits. Like she just is like, I don't have that type of body. Like I've got hips and tits and that, like a nice row pantsuit, probably not going to work for me. But
I'm the only thing that's really disappointing is that I really wish the story was like, yeah, and then she was there in her Old Navy sweats and Harry Styles was like, I couldn't want to fuck you more. And then I'm like, wow, I totally relate to this. And then I saw her and she hadn't showered in 3 days. And I thought, there's someone I want to finger. Like,
I know she really is, but like she's so pulled together the whole time.
I love like, that for her,
man. And I want to be that pulled together. But wow. Anyway,
I highly recommend it.
I read it in, if I did not have anyone at home, I would have read it in a day. But I had to, you know, got lots.
Yeah, you had that baby to get rid of the endo pain. And now now you have to hang out with him. Did you like 50 Shades? Like, did you get on that train?
So I read that book. And this is no, I sometimes hate critiquing other people's writing because as an author, you work so hard on a book.
Yeah.
But I will say, I mean, I think it was one of the worst written books I've ever read, but it was also kept me captivated the whole time. And then it really kind of brought up this question for me that what constitutes a good book? Mm-hmm. Like, although the writing I didn't think was great writing, I finished that thing in 2 days.
Totally.
Like it kept me. So I think, you know, a lot of times when, you know, it's so funny because I actually gave a copy of The Idea of You to my friend, kind of forcing her to read it too. And she wrote me, she's like, you're one of the most like thoughtful and savvy and just one of the, like, I guess knowing women I know, yet your choice of books is very surprising to me. And it's like, you can, you know, have a lot of different interests.
100%. Also, like, the thing I really feel very deeply, one of my longest and strongest held opinions is that, like, and I wrote a book all in email form, right? Like, Hey Ladies is like all emails. It's like a parody of, you know, the worst parts of ourselves as women trying to plan events. And it's not, I'm not trying to write War and Peace. And some of the things that really bothered me when Michelle and I put that book out in the world, I mean, it didn't really bother me. It was like a little, you know, it was like a little thorn in my side for like a minute, is that there are some people who are like, I don't, you know, I don't like books like this. Like, they're not serious enough. Okay, there are plenty of serious books. Go read one. Did you really pick up my book and think like, oh, this is literature? We're having fun here. There's enough room in the world for lots of different kinds of books. And I sometimes feel like critique ends up in a place where we're all being compared to something we were never trying to emulate. Like, just because it's like words on a page, like words on a page doesn't mean that like we're all trying to make the same path to, you know, one of like, you know, like Dickens or, you know, Louise May Alcott. Like, I didn't write my book thinking like, oh, I hope people think this is like Little Women. Like, I don't know. That never crossed my mind. The only thing that my book has in common with, you know, Moby Dick is that they're both books. And and that's all. And I don't
know. Absolutely.
It's crazy.
No, I mean, and I think that goes to TV, too. Like, I'm looking for a new house right now. And the realtor was like talking about this, like this, the front room. And he was like, well, you guys don't watch a lot of TV, so you wouldn't care. I'm like, wait, what? I watch TV like
probably told you that?
Way more than anyone should. Like, what? Just because I write serious things sometimes, or like I don't watch TV?
Yeah.
Like, it's just,
we contain multitudes.
No. Yeah. So yeah, my husband reads like feminist literature, and I'm just like, cute. Give me the that other book.
You know, it's, I hate, you know, I hate when people call things chick lit, because what does that mean?
What would you like to call it though? Because
books.
book, but I think sometimes,
like, how, where do you want it to sit on the shelf?
Because to me, it's like beach read sort of like takes away from it in some ways. Like Serena calls it medium trashy, but although mm-hmm. she did tell me an author reached out to her that she called medium trashy, she was like, oh, I'm medium trashy. Yeah, so what do you call it? Because it's not women's fiction, because that,
I guess,
I don't know. What do you call it?
For me, like my interpretation of those, and I'm saying this with air quotes, those kinds of books is like, it's like book bubble bath or like mental Xanax. Like yeah. it's like book Xanax. It's like there are books that I like, you know, but that really it's like watching Pretty Liars with your phone. Like there are some books where you're like, I'm just in the mood to, you know, bring a cold drink out in the backyard and like sit down and may, you know, and like let my mind wander and read this book. There are some books that you really have to give 100% of your brain to get through. And then for what? For bragging rights to say that you read it or to like be part, you know what I mean? Like read what you want. But I feel like I tend to go more for a book that's like just fun. And also, and I say this about Ellen Hildebrand all the time because she is one of my favorite author, and I reread her books all the time because it is like not like candy to me in the way that it's like, oh, it's, you know, chick lit or it's like beach reads, but it's well written writing that makes me feel comfortable and makes me feel excited to turn the page and doesn't require all of my brain, and I'm not trying to parse the meaning between the lines, and like I'm not doing like a character essay for college about it afterward. I'm just enjoying a book. I think so much of book culture is like showing off what you are reading, or proving,
and then feeling shame for it's like, oh my gosh, eeks, I read this like funny book. It's like, I know it's kind of fun. It's
like I know it's about
fucking
it's the shopaholic, but like, oh, I know it's like so like, don't defend it. You don't have to defend it.
I know. Whenever someone gives me a book, they're like, my husband's parents give me a lot of books, and one of them was like, in a war-torn city, a 15-year-old reflects. It's like, nope. Like, is it a 39-year-old that works in publishing is trying to like find her like lost love? Yes, give me that.
Yeah. And like, there's not, like, reading is reading. You know, like buying books is buying books. Going to the library is going to the library. Like all of these things support this sort of industry. It's so weird when people get really
precious
and then pious about,
yeah,
you know, oh, like I'm reading this. And what I loved about 50 Shades of Grey, and I didn't like it, yes, but I love that it was fan fiction. And I love that, like, she had never written, like, am I right in that? She hadn't written a book before.
No, that book was her fan fiction.
Good for her.
So it's, and to me, it's like, so when I say it was one of the worst written books, like that's, you know, I just mean like grammatically, styling of the words, like amazing. Like you wrote a book that everyone loves and technically it's not great literature. Who cares?
And
she fucking is loving life with the money in the bank from that book.
I would love that experience.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And for Ellen Hildebrand books, you know, not all quote unquote beach reads are the same. She is an incredible writer. There's a reason why everyone likes her books. Like, she writes really well. And similarly, so Jessica emailed me about The Idea of You yesterday, or 2 days ago rather. And one of the things you said was that you've now been trying to pick up other books and to kind of chase that high, and you haven't been able to find it. And that's how I feel when I finish an Ellen Hildebrand book, which is that, like, there's some, it's not just about a book that's about two two like star-crossed lovers like hanging out at the beach. Like, her writing is amazing. That's why I like to read it. It's great.
Right.
And so you pick up another book that has a similar cover where it's like, you know, a towel on a beach chair in the wind. And you're like, okay, well, this will probably give me that same sort of feeling. And it never, right. ever delivers. And it's because good writing about a subject that isn't really considered serious is great. Like, can be an amazing reading experience.
We need to figure out a new, because even on, so when you get a book published with Penguin, this has been one of the greatest things. You mm-hmm. get 50% off their books. So I've been going to town on books. So, but even in on their website, all the books that I'm buying are in the women's fiction section. And that's fine, because, you know, a lot of the characters are women.
But men's fiction is in a section.
Right. So it's like, what could, like, I don't know if the bubble bath book thing, it might be a little too long, but we need to come up with like some sort of name.
There has to be something that isn't beach reads, or we have to spend our time, you know, stripping the idea of chick lit and beach reads as something that is less than another mm-hmm. book by a man. Those books sell. Like, Ellen Hildebrand's doing great. she's living, you know?
Yeah.
And one of my favorite stories that she told when she came on the podcast and when I had talked to her, because she knows I'm her number one fan, and I think she probably is a little scared of me, but that's fine. But like, I love her so much, but, and I've talked to her every chance I can. And she, one of the things she has always told me is when she was at Iowa for writing, she wrote a ton about, you know, characters in Nantucket, and she wrote what she knew and home. And she said everyone in her class made fun of her because they were all writing about death and sadness and like disease. And like, she was writing about like love stories at a restaurant in Nantucket. And she's like definitely the most successful out of her class. And it's like, you know what? You can celebrate a 50 Shades of Grey moment, and you can also say it's no, you know, Moby Dick, or like, it's not War and Peace. Like, no shit. There's a reason why I haven't bought War and Peace and tried to read it. I'm not interested. Like, I'm not in college.
Absolutely. You shouldn't feel less than for your choices of television or reading.
No.
It's just, and like, I even hate the phrase guilty pleasure. It's like, I actually feel
just pleasure.
No guilt watching Salt Lake City Housewives. It's the one thing that has brought, like, the first, I haven't seen the second reunion yet, but the first reunion was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I needed this today.
Yeah, for sure. I love New Jersey Housewives. I love all Housewives. They're all great to me.
Except OC. I refuse to watch.
No. We're done with OC. That needs to go away. No, I couldn't agree more. I think the more, like, you have to do things that you enjoy. I think the second you stop giving a shit about, like, and also if you're a person who's like, I love reading like Russian literature and like that's a thing that I love, cool. But what is worse than trying to slog through a book that everyone is talking about and you're like, I don't get, this isn't working for me. Are you a book abandoner if you're not into it?
Well, I'll have to say I've abandoned two books since the idea of you. And I mean, this has only been in 2 days and I'm hyping up this book.
I'm
really
so excited
hard.
To read it. I'm but, so excited
but
to read
I,
it.
I hope that other people like it. Just felt so fun. But yeah, I but it's funny because I will try very hard to not be a book abandoner because I just feel like I owe it to the characters and the writer to finish it. But sometimes I'm like, eh, which was much easier to do at the library.
Sure.
Because you're like, there's oh, no just deal. Return it. But then when I actually buy it, I'm like, I guess I gotta.
I know. And then it sits this. On my shelf. There's also, I always feel those like TBR memes, pile memes, like so hard because like my bookshelves are stocked with books I haven't read yet. And I'm always like, oh, gotta go buy another book. And I always just imagine.
Okay, you know
like,
what
I
do? You know what I do that feels so good? And
tell me.
I don't know if you get a lot of galleys and books sent to you.
I do. Yeah.
But okay. So I do it 4 times a year. So every season I put all the books that I do not want, or maybe I've already interviewed the person or I've already read it. Mm-hmm. I put them all out on my porch and I text 20 people I know that live in Charleston. And I say, first dibs, come and get them. It's kind of like this nice. Thing that people now know where it's going to happen.
Cool.
And it's a way to kind of like weed it out, but also know that it's going to someone that's going to be excited about it. Mm-hmm. And by the end, like the end of the weekend, all the books are gone. And
oh,
it just feels
great.
Freeing.
That's a great idea. There is
so much
stuff. Because
you don't
want to
just drop them off. Like when I get, I'm sure you do, I get so many books, like books that I didn't even ask for or no one told me they were going to send them to me. And I don't want to just drop them off in a dumpster that maybe Goodwill might pick up or might not pick up.
Right.
And it's like, I feel like it's not respectful to the author or something. So I like to give them away.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really great idea. I feel like, especially right now, it's like a nice sort of distance thing you can do if someone comes by, like waves to you from outside. It's like,
yes,
safe.
Yes.
And I like dropping things off at the little libraries near me. I think in New York, it was a lot easier when I lived in Brooklyn. Like, you knew if you put out a box of books, like there would be none left in like 2 hours.
Totally.
I live in a very residential neighborhood now in LA. I think that would take a little bit more time, but I like the idea of just like kind of putting it, even if it was like on Instagram and someone, like, I'm not afraid of the post office. So if you wanted to like pay for shipping, like I'll send you whatever books you want, you know,
yeah.
It doesn't scare me. I really like the idea of, so I'm not precious at all about books. I think books are meant to be shared and put back into the world. And I don't think you have to keep every single book that you've read as like a trophy of your reading or whatever. My husband doesn't agree with me. He's really precious about his books. And he and I both have these massive book collections that every house we have moved to, because we've lived in three different places together now, is like this whole thing about like where are all the books going to go. And so finally, before we moved to Los Angeles, I was like, you know, the books are the thing that's costing us the most money to move because they are heavy. Right. Like we left.
No, I had the same dude.
Yeah.
I remember sitting in Chicago and I remember this so well. We're about to move. And my husband has a master's in English. So like he has like all of these insane, this book collection, all of them are this fucking thick. And like, we're going through the books. I'm like, do you need this like biography about Daniel Pearl still? Like, do you need this about like all of these very dark topics? Like,
yes.
I don't, you already read them. Like, I don't see you referencing these again.
But the answer is yes, right? He said yes.
Oh yeah, obviously. We have them all.
Dan's
so, and I mean, I have to respect that because it's like, you know, I have a very large caftan collection and they all kind of look the same, but,
yes.
But I wear them every day. That's the difference.
And they're right. And they're pretty. And those books aren't pretty. I mean, Dan also, English lit major. And it's,
yeah,
it, you know, everyone's precious about their, I mean, I have way, yeah, exactly. I have way more clothes. I have way more shoes. Like, you know, it's hard because the only thing that he really has a multitude of is books. And so it feels unfair for me to be like, you have to cull that collection. I'm keeping all of my skincare. And, yeah. And when we,
the
when
books
we,
just weigh so, and
they
Dan
do,
also
it was
giant
so expensive.
Record collection
yes.
too. And I'm just like, which it's fine. I built, this was another thing I spent money on, not pre-pandemic. I had like this huge built that's like floor to ceiling.
Yeah.
That all of the books are in there and the doors close. So you don't actually
love that.
It's this like, it's this great like moment where you open it and you're like, oh, like all the books, but I don't have to see them all the time.
We have a room with like our bedroom is a big built-in floor to ceiling bookshelf that was already there and it's great. But even more, even like now the books are on top of other books. You know, it's like a thing. And it was so expensive to move them that now I'm like, oh, we have to keep them because we just spent all this money. Like, if we're moving them to LA, we can't get rid of them after we paid hundreds of dollars to get them here. But Dan, I said to Dan, I'm like, can you go through your books and just, you know, get rid of some of the ones that, you know, like, can we get rid? And he found one book that he had two copies of and he got rid of one copy. And I was like, thank you
That's so nice.
That's great. Thanks, Dan. Super helpful. It was like, it was like a tiny mass market, like John Steinbeck that weighed maybe like an ounce. And he's like, okay, I did it. I'm like, all right, man. Thanks for all your help. I love that you came and we were like, we're going to talk about this bathrobe. And then we went on this book tangent forever. But I need to give you a recommendation that I'm really hoping can hold your attention in the spirit of, What is the book that you just recommended called? The Idea of You.
The Idea of You.
So it is an Ellen Hildebrand, because there is one for every mood. But Nantucket Nights is one of her, I think, shortest. It's a quickie read. It came out like 15 years ago. Similarly, there is a very like torrid affair that happens. Page-turner, great descriptions, very fun. I really think that you could, I think you would like it. And I really want, I want to be the person that gives you the recommendation that you're like, I read the book. I couldn't get through any other books after that because I love that book so much. And then I found this book and I also liked this book.
Great. I'll read it. I did get The Au Pair. I don't know if you read that one.
Wait, I heard of that. Tell me more.
It's just, I mean, I think it's just about, here, I'll show you the cover.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't even seen that.
This one is more of like a thriller, but it's like, it's some sort of like, I don't know. I thought maybe I could transition to a thriller and that would help.
What kind of, have you read The Couple Next Door?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it a good thriller like that?
I haven't even started it. It's just like the one that I was going to go to next.
I really want, and you do hard books. You don't do a Kindle.
Yeah, I cannot. And that's the thing, like so many publishers right now are sending digital galleys and they're like, I'll wait until the book comes out.
Yeah.
I don't like reading things on a screen.
See, I'm the
opposite. I don't retain it. I do not retain information if I read it on a screen.
I get that. I'm a big Kindle person, but I find that the problem is if I go to a bookstore and actually see the physical copy of the book, I can't remember if I read it or not because all Kindle books look exactly the same and there's no defining, you know, there's no like, oh, that's the cover. Or like, oh, totally, this was a thick book or like, oh, this was, I didn't know Nantucket Nights was short until I saw it compared to her other book. You know, you just don't really understand the length of something. But that's the problem is that sometimes I'll be like, oh, I haven't read this. And then I'll be like halfway through a book and I'm like, I've read this. Like I bought, you buy the hardcover and you're like, no, I've been down this road before. So I like a Kindle because I like that it gives you options, but I wish without having to buy the like iPad looking Kindle that you could get some sort of visual that's like, here's the cover of the book and, you know, here's what the spine looks like. Because I really do feel like when I walk in to buy books, I like have no recollection of anything I've ever read because
that's
it's all just
so
words on
interesting.
A screen.
Yeah, because I actually, like, if you were to ask me, what are all the books you read over the pandemic? Mm-hmm. I could not tell you, but I could tell you what all the covers looked like. I don't remember names of books that well either.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's hard, but like, yeah, I don't know. The Kindle for me is so easy because I feel like it's just so portable, you know, like you just throw
it. No, dude, I wish that I liked it.
I know.
Let me tell you this real quick.
Please.
So when I was going through the adoption process and they kept on saying, we have a special nook that has all of the books. Cause when you adopt, you have to create a book about yourself that birth moms can read.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we have a special nook. It has all the books there. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait to see this beautiful nook that they keep on talking about. So I was like waiting for the day that we got to see the nook with all the books and everything. And then they handed me like an iPad thing. They're like, here is the nook.
And it was like a literal nook. Like the Barnes & Noble e-reader.
Because they were like, we're going to go get the nook. And I'm like, are they going to carry in that wooden like I pictured it to be this beautiful antique.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's
it was
so
just
funny.
A fucking Barnes and Noble nook.
I really love that. I really love that. Wait, also, I know I said, oh, you had that baby to get rid of your envy pain. I didn't realize you had adopted.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Jessica Murnan, as a bonus, because now we've been talking for like almost an hour and a half and we haven't even like gotten to the robe. Just shout out the robe that you love.
Okay.
And we will find a place for it like in the show notes or on the site. And if you want to shoot me an email like why you love it, that will be a bonus for listeners to go in on the site and find it. Because we thought we were going to be talking about robes, but then we just talked about books and Pretty Little Liars. And I think we've never really had a big conversation here about books. So I'm really happy we did that.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
But we are a Koyuchi like loyal podcast. So I love my waffle robe. Prove me wrong. Tell me what you love.
So first of all, that robe that you like is short. I cannot do a short robe.
Got it.
When you don't shave your legs, which I hardly ever do right now.
Sure.
If you're bloated, if you feel gross about yourself, to me, a short robe does not make me feel better about myself.
Sure. Yes.
Equally, are you tall? What?
Are you tall?
No, I'm 5'5".
Oh. Lucky. So all robes are short on me though. I'm 5'8". So like,
oh, you are.
So if you have a long robe rack, I'm interested because even the long robes are like midi skirts on me.
Okay. Second, to me, and I think your waffle is close, but maybe not totally. I think one of the things that makes me feel most gross about my body is a big, fluffy white robe. They're bulky. They're like, whenever you go to a hotel and they're like, put on the robe. It's like, ew, like this makes me feel
interesting.
Like it just doesn't make me feel okay, but I'm also bloated a lot with my endo. So I found these robes that are basically the equivalent of like a caftan, but in a robe.
Yeah.
They're very, very long. They have like very long, like kind of butterfly kimono type sleeves. Mm-hmm. It's also very soft. Now, is it going to suck up all the water when you get out of the shower? No, but I do feel pretty when I walk around in it in my house.
It's like a house dress.
It's more, yeah, like a house dress. But I live in robes, and living in like a short robe, it just makes me feel gross about myself.
That's interesting. Like I love a big towel robe, but I love it for like post shower purposes. I'm not like,
but not lounging.
No,
right?
No. I never lounge in my like bathrobe. I mean, I lounge in the waffle robe, but I wear it like over like my sweatpants and a tank top or whatever. Like it becomes.
Okay. So then you get the long robe.
Sure.
That is really pretty. And now you have like this, it feels kind of like this, you know, put together situation. You can still wear it over. Like
I usually
wear mine over just like a pair of like pajama type pants. And now
sense.
That I got a breast reduction, I feel like I can wear bras without it being pornographic to the whole house.
Sure.
So yeah. So now I just wear the long robe. It's called Novica is the robe brand.
Okay. I'm writing it down.
It's thin. Okay. Like I'm not saying this is going to keep you warm at night.
No. It's like a lounging robe.
It's a lounging robe.
That's so different. I mean, I can be both. Like I can have my waffle robe. Maybe I can be a three robe gal. You know, you have your big fluffy robe for a post shower. You have your waffle robe for like when I get up and like have to take the puppy outside, but I'm like not wearing much clothes. And then I want something that like makes my sweats feel like an outfit, which maybe is this.
I got to the point 4 weeks ago. That's so specific, but about a month ago.
You're like, it was Monday at 11 a.m.
I got to this point where I was like, I am embracing this loungewear look, but I was like, I don't feel great about myself in this old sweatshirt and pajama pants. So I went and maybe we can include this in the show notes too. I went online. I actually bought it from Amazon. Sorry, but I bought this like silky kind of sexy, like pajama set.
Okay.
And I actually just feel better about myself during the day.
Honestly, I think if there's anything we learned from this year, it's that like there's only like, you know, everyone makes that joke like, you know, at 5 p.m. I take off my day leggings and I put on my night leggings. Like you really do have to have like I bought a lot of matching sweatshirts and sweatpants in the last year because even comfy clothes need to make you feel a little put together. Like there's only so many days where I can wear like a raggedy t-shirt and like and like sweatpants that have like grease prints on them from me like wiping my hair. You know what I mean? Like you have to elevate. Like I'm not ready to put on jeans, but sometimes when I put on like my tie-dye sweatpants and my tie-dye sweatshirt, I'm like, oh, I'm in an outfit. Like, yes, it sweats. No, I'm not leaving the house, but I feel like I got dressed. And that makes a huge difference in like my mental ability for the day. Like, I feel like I can get things done.
Yes. And like, let's be clear, I'm doing it for myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, totally.
I don't care if my husband thinks I'm hot or whatever. It's just,
absolutely.
I just want to feel a little better.
I always say to Dan, it would be too much paperwork for you to divorce me. I don't care. Like, we always joke that we're going to like YouTube tutorial the divorce, but it's a mutual joke. No one's actually going to divorce. But yeah, I mean, I'm doing it for me. And I'm also, I'm a particular person where if I'm like sitting down to do a day's worth of work, I need to feel clean. And like, I even put on like lipstick for myself. And like, you know, maybe I will shave up to my knees if I'm feeling crazy. But yeah, you do want to feel, there's so much about this year that made me feel less human. And whether it was like, you know, missing actual in real life interactions or just putting on real clothes and like going out and like doing things, you know, you have to sort of like, only if for a few weeks in March was I comfortable getting up and like just staying in the same clothes I slept in all day. Mm-hmm. And then at some point it was like, okay, I'm going to change my underwear and like change my sweatpants. They're still sweatpants, but they're my outfit sweatpants. You know, you like kind of build a new environment for yourself. I think that having a robe that feels almost like you're wearing a dress, but it's like a robe is exactly the like,
I kind of picture myself like Elizabeth Taylor when I wear it, just kind of
obviously
gore, because all she did was wear caftans and robes like all the time.
Tell me again the name of the brand.
Novika with Novika. And you can actually, it's one of those brands where it's context matters.
Yeah.
Like try to not look at the styling of it and just try to picture it on yourself.
Got it. I love that. What a great recommendation. And we got to talk books and we got to talk Pretty Little Liars. This has been like such a wonderful, this might be like one of the longest episodes we've ever done. I think it's wonderful. Jessica Murnan, thank you so, so much for coming to Do Things Just Bought
It. Oh my gosh. Thank you.
We will link to everything in the show notes, including ordering Jessica's book, Know Your Endo, coming out at the end of April. You can pre-order it now. We've talked about this before, but for authors, it's super important to get those pre-orders. It like shows up on someone's spreadsheet and it determines whether you'll be able to write another book again. So it's a great way to support like some marketing like person at the publishing house, like is delivering those numbers to their boss, and Jessica's fate is in your hands. So if you're thinking about buying the book, there's no harm in pre-ordering it. It's like a gift for yourself. We will link to everything we talked about, including Pretty Little Liars, all of our book recommendations, like various, maybe even the air fryer that Jessica has. I'll go and get the name of it. I'm so excited that you were able to join us. Thanks for giving me your time.
Thank you.
And we will see you all next week for another